then you got the greatest gig going. You know, that's really what drives me, just total happiness. Anybody that knows me for any length of time knows that I'm probably the happiest person that's not medicated that you will ever meet in your life, ever. You know, I just, I'm all about the positivity. Yeah, every once in a while we go a little off the rails, but, and then my wife pulls me back in. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm just, that's what drives me. Just, we have two choices in the morning when we get up. You got the happy side or the unhappy and miserable side. And the unhappy and miserable side, I don't have time for that. So that's what drives me, just striving for ultimate happiness.
I love that answer. That's it, you know. And like, I love how you said that. When you wake up, you do have a decision to make. It's very quick and very simple. You can either get up out of bed and be a grouch all day, or you can get out of bed and just be somebody who's going to be positive and influence this world in whatever way they possibly can. And you're definitely doing that, and you do it with class, man. And I appreciate that answer. That's a great
thank you. And you also have to pivot, you know, because, listen, when the world stopped, when we went to Groundhog Day, which every day is the same, right, yeah. On March 16th, we had to pivot. My wife's business was a yarn to the people business. So they booked the bus. She goes out and they deal in person. We got a bunch of yarn for an upcoming show because the show was really successful. And then they canceled the show. So my wife's like, oh, what are we going to do? Now we're stuck with all this yarn. We're not. We're going to go online. We did 4 days of marathon shows. Every 3 hours, we did a live show. It blew up. So now we do a Monday night live a show on Monday nights called Twisted Stitches on Nitty Gritty Yarn Girl on Facebook. Awesome. And we reach people all over the world. We ship to all but 3 states. We ship to New Zealand, Australia, UK, Canada, the Netherlands, all from online. And my business, going out training, going to dealerships, that kind of, so we had to switch. So now I've gone from live and in person to live online. So we've literally gone from mobile to global.
I love that. And that's the power. People don't realize. Like, a lot of people are like, oh, this whole situation really. No. If you actually put the work in and you use the mind, just like, I love the way you thought about it, the way you said, no, I just had to switch the shift gears a little bit. You had to go online. You had to use social media. You had to use video. That's the future, though. But by doing so, you were able to get global, not just regional anymore.
Oh, yeah.
And by doing that, it's crazy to think that, like, how fast that happens, how you can reach the whole world to all the way on the other side of New Zealand, Australia area. When you can reach the other side of the world and the nitty-gritty's there, what is going on, right? And that's beautiful because that is the power of this. A lot of people were like, man, it's a shame that this happened. Don't get me wrong.
No.
I think that it was a crazy time, but if you really put the work in during this time, you leaps and bounds of what you could be, leaps and bounds of what anything could be. This, like my podcast, your shows, everything that I've been doing, it's blown up because of this, you know. And I'm not trying to give praise to coronavirus. I think it's horrible that families lost lives, people got sick. I think that businesses, you know, got a lot of these small businesses in certain towns no longer around because they couldn't stay together anymore. And I think it's sad, but you know, one thing that I know is that people who are successful, even these small businesses, if they did it once, they could do it again.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And they just have, but it all starts with when they get out of bed every day, like you mentioned. It's about what the attitude they have. They can get out and have a grouch attitude, or they can get out and be positive and move forward with life. And if they choose the latter, they're going to do so much better that this business that they had in the past will seem like nothing if they just work in something new, and it'll blow up even bigger because they know how to get there. They know that positivity, working hard, doing the right things every single day when you wake up will make it all. And I love that you talked about that, and that's a good point to make, that during this time, it was crazy. But it was crazy only, and it was sad only if you didn't put the work in, only if you laid around and you literally did nothing like a lot of the world did. And I'm glad I didn't. I'm glad you didn't, Paul. I think I know your wife is happy that you guys didn't too. That going online was huge for you two with her thing too.
Huge. So, what you have to remember is one thing. Out of adversity comes opportunity.
100%.
All right. One door closes, but another door opens. So I also do marketing in the restaurant space. And I've done thousands of live videos, so many that people recognize me out in the field. People, hi, Paul. I have no idea who they are, but they know me because we follow you on Facebook, right? Yeah. So restaurants would hire me to go there to eat dinner and live stream the event, because they know if I eat there, other people will go to eat there.
That's right.
So again, you got to shift, right? So when COVID hit, the dining piece kind of put the brakes on. So that also helped me to be able to spend months and months and months to put together the website, which is now taken off.
Right. That's awesome. That's, folks,
amazing.
A solutionary type of attitude. Bruin Solutions being the key point that you go to anytime you run into a challenge. Mm. I am a strong believer that if a giant is facing you, it's going to do one of two things. It's either there to destroy you or it's there to get destroyed by you. And in any case scenario in our life, if we're not winning, we understand it's not over, because that giant is supposed to fall to us. And when we actually live our life understanding that, okay, well, now this mountain, this giant, this problem, this issue, this relationship, this isn't really attacking me because it's going to beat me. This is only attacking me because somehow or another, I'm going to be better because of me facing this type of a fire. So when we apply hot water to good beans, guess what you get out of it? You get a good brew of Car Guy coffee. You get a good cup of Joe. You get a good, delicious, invigorating elixir to help you actually go do what it is that you're called to do.
Boom.
Paul is showing everybody that you can shift on a dime, just like our brothers and sisters from the Think Tank. They are in here right now, just saying what's up from the LinkedIn side of life. We're so thankful that they're here. And yes, we love you all. Thank you so much for being here. We want to let everybody know that there's so many other people that are like you, that want to see success in other people. And Paul has been a solutionary doing this for years now. And the thing that Corona did is it helped to just bring a welding to more people that were trying to find and didn't have the time to find people that were like them. Guys, we worked a lot of hours. We work a lot of hours now. And a lot of that time was focused on things that needed focus. There was a release of that pressure for a moment for you to give way to the things you were dreaming of, you were wanting to focus on.
Yes.
You had to forgive other stuff. You had to forget that you were told that you had to be home. You had to forgive that you weren't allowed to go eat. You had to forgive that your business had to be shut down. You had to forgive that you couldn't necessarily do the things you wanted to do anymore. So then you got to focus on where it was that you wanted to grow. Many people did additions to their homes. Many people learned how to cook new things. Many people learned how to cook. Period. You know what I mean? Because they couldn't go get food no more.
No doubt.
Right? So because of that, there is a great victory that we all get to share. And most of it is inside of the relationships that we kind of were told get away from each other. We were told to get away from each other, but we pulled in some great people. And I'm very thankful for it. But I encourage you all, if there's a big challenge in front of you, it's really there because you're supposed to conquer it. So I don't care what the trouble is. I don't care what the dilemma is or the problem is. It found you because you're a solutionary. So go brew a solution just like Paul. And I'm so thankful that he's actually been able to be a light on so many of the subjects that we're talking about here. But he got a whole house full of yawn and he found a way to brew a solution with that. Folks, that's what solutionaries do, right? That's what you got to do. Forgive, focus on what you got to get done and fly. Get it rocking and rolling. I appreciate you waking up on the good side.
Find your passion, folks. Find your passion. When you have your passion, don't let anyone or anything get in your way. You know, and I mean that with love. Like, you don't push people out the way. What I mean is that when people give you doubt, that should be a moment where you should move forward. The reason why people doubt people is because they wish they were doing what you're doing. And that's what I've kind of noticed about things. A lot of times people tell you, oh, that won't work. Even though you know in your heart it's going to work, they're like, it's not going to work. It's because they're jealous in a sense. And I hate to use that word. It's a very strong word. But that's basically the intent of that. And it's because they wish they were doing something like that. They wish they were being more productive in life. They wish they were contributing to the world a little bit more. And so that being said, don't ever let anyone discourage you, folks. If you truly believe in something, just like Paul, just like Lou and I, just like most of the people we have on our show, if you believe in it, just do it. Because when you do it, you will find that it was a lot easier than you thought. If you that by the end of it all, you're going to be extremely proud of yourself, proud of your company, proud of the people who helped you come up in that. It's so much stuff that gets involved in that feeling that you get from doing something, just accomplishing the impossible to other people, right? So, Pooh, what's question number two, my friend?
That was his first question. We got to get you talking some more. We're just so amped up and pumped up that you're in here. So let me ask something that's more on the car guy related side. Of course, folks, this is a solutionary inside of the shop to the front of the lot. Okay, he is one that understands the car business. So, Paul Meyer, what got you in the car business itself?
Well, I've always loved cars. Since I was a little boy and I could hold my first pencil, I always drew cars. Always. I drew hot rods. I drew custom cars. I called them Meyerottis. Get it? So always drew cars. So all through school, when other people are doodling cartoons, I'm drawing hot rods and custom cars and James Bond type cars with tanks in them that go underwater and all kinds of stuff. It was funny. When I went to college years later, this guy came up to me. He says, you know, you look familiar. It's somebody I went to like fifth grade with or fourth grade. He says, I wasn't sure until I saw what you were drawing. And what I was drawing in the drafting class, I drew this custom car, this sports car. And he's like, as soon as I saw that, I knew it was you. Because he says, nobody drew cars like you. So I've always had that passion in me. You know, my father taught me at an early age, you know, how to work on cars. Conveniently afterwards, everything he showed me, he conveniently forgot how to do. So I was the one fixing the cars. You know, I was the one, you drive by the house and the hood is open and there's somebody under the hood, or there's a cherry picker in the driveway yanking a motor out. So I've always loved that. And then one day, you know, my mother said, hey, you know, they're looking for a trainee mechanic at the shop. Yeah, okay. You know, the drawing bolts thing was getting really, really boring. So if you're going, all right, I'll go work in a shop. So I got promoted from, you know, I was a trainee. I went to full-fledged mechanic, got promoted to shop foreman, service manager, and store manager. And I ran several shops in the aftermarket. And I was, you know, I'm always passionate about everything I do. If I'm going to sweep streets, man, I'm going to have the cleanest streets of anybody, anywhere, because that's just the way it is. So when I ran my shops, I ran them, people thought I owned them. That's what I put into it. You know, most aftermarket shops you go into, they're not clean. My shops, all the boxes were lined up like soldiers. That before a car came down off the lift, it was swept. The stuff was thrown in the garbage can, and there were lids on the garbage can, right? So I've loved it. Went from that, you know, got tired of working in the aftermarket shops. Figured, let me go work at a dealership. You know, it seems to be the next progression. So as I'm walking in through the dealership to interview for a service job, I see the sales guys hanging out, looking like they're having fun. I said, yeah, I could do this. But at the time back then, unless you had sales experience in selling cars, it wouldn't give you a job. So as I'm walking through the showroom and I meet with the owner, I said, look, I know I'm here for the service job, but I'm really after a sales job. So he says, I'll tell you what, in a year, we're going to split our dealership up and I'll have openings for sales jobs. I'll give you the first sales job then. Yeah, I could do that. Time goes fast. So that's how I got into car sales. And then, you know, I got recruited to another place. Didn't work a lot of dealerships, just a few. But then I got recruited to the outside world. And I went kicking and screaming. You know, I didn't want to be a vendor. I didn't want to go on the road because I had keys to the building, wrote my own deals. I loved it. It was really, as far as I was concerned, there's no reason to leave. But this company, they kept badgering me just over and over and over. So finally, I gave in. I said, you know what? I'm young enough. I could try this. If it doesn't work, I can always go back to the store. Mm-hmm. That's like thinking you're going to leave the car business. It's never going to happen. So when I started with that company, then I got recruited by another company. And after doing that for a number of years, I decided that, you know, the companies are great because they train you. But when it comes right down to it, they fail you in support. Mm-hmm. They just do. They're not going to put in the same passion that you do. if I'm going to work 120 hours for somebody else and they're not going to be there when I need, you know, the last straw was I'm out in Pennsylvania. It's a Friday afternoon. I got the dealers ready to sign up, switching DMSs. They're, you know, it's something that they always wait too long for. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to call my boss because I needed some help to structure this deal. No answer. I text him. Where are you? He says, oh, I'm out to dinner with my wife. You know, it's going to have to wait till Monday. No, you don't understand. I'm 6 hours from home. This is going down now. I had everybody else jumping through hoops. We're going to put this deal together. And you're telling me Monday? No. This has got to happen now.
Yeah.
Just flat out refused to help. Said, you know what? Clicked in here. I said, yeah, this is not going to work for me. I'm out. I called him. I said, come get your car in 2 weeks because I'm out of here. And I started my own gig. That's when I went into restaurant marketing. Did that for about a year exclusively, which was a lot of fun. I mean, it was a vicious cycle. You got to show up at a restaurant, have dinner, live stream it. They force all these drinks on you. It sucked. It was horrible. And then they pay you. And then you have to go back again and do it all over again.
Darn it.
It's a vicious cycle. I know it sounds like a dream job. It really does, but, you know, it wasn't. And then car people kept pulling me back. Hey, we want you to represent our product. So that's how I got back into the car part of it. And when, when the COVID thing hit, I'm like, I got to pivot. DealerVendorMatch.com.
Bing bong. That's right. Hello. And, you know, and that's a great story. And I love that you talked about that. You took risks. You rolled the dice a few times. But you knew in your mind, hey, why not? You know, and that's the thing. Life is, you mentioned in that one part where, well, 1 year goes by quick. That's a quick time. And it's true. People don't realize that. Everybody wants to have instant gratification, like instant. Like it has to happen right now or I'm not going to do it. Well, that's tough. And in a lot of cases, you can get instant gratification. But sometimes when you're risking something like that, you have to go through the cycle. And you did that. And you did it with class, man. And I love what you did. I love your story talking about how you became a salesperson. Then you went off. You got recruited. Then you got recruited with another company. Mm-hmm. And then you were like, you know what? This company does not support me. They're not supporting me the way I'm supporting them. So, you know, I love fair deals. This is not a fair deal here. You know, both parties have to benefit from this. Both parties have to put in the work from this, right? I agree with that 100%. You made the right move there. So then you decided I'm going to do my own thing. Well, I love that whole restaurant thing. I know that it is work. And no matter what we do, folks, everything we do, whether it sounds
good, work.
This podcast is work. This everything that we do, that we put a lot of work behind the scenes. A lot of people don't see. But at the end of the day, it helps you grow.
You see what Justin said? He says, I wish I could have smelled that Polynesian beef stew, Paul.
Me too.
Oh, my God. That stuff is nectar of the gods. Vegetarians will eat that.
I believe that. He said vegetarians.
Yeah. That's certified vegan beef right there, brothers.
It's some good vegan beef. But, yes, I lost track. That was good. Vegetarians.
He's good with them one-liners. I love it.
No, it did look good. I saw that last night when you had that posted. It looked delicious, man. I'm a big foodie. My wife is one of the best cooks I've ever been a part of. Every night she makes something that blows my mind. And but she's very non-social media. She does not want to post nothing. I'm always like, let me take a picture of this meal. And we have a local group here called the Hardin County Foodies.
Shout out to Luke.
Luke the food guy, right? And Luke loves food too. He loves to share it. He loves to share different types of meals and things, much like you, you know. He's doing it here at a local level, but I always tell my wife we should include your pictures of your food because you would crush it. People would always ask you, I'm good. I don't do it for them.
I'm a food pornographer.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that post too. That was good. And you are, and you do a damn good job of that, Paul. Dang good job. So
speaking of promotions, we want to make sure that everybody out there knows that these brews have been brought to you by Elite FI Partners and the Think Ad Group.
That's right.
We are excited to have solutionaries like these that are always trying to find a way to cook something up that'll be a solution for not just their vendors, but for their friends. Not just their vendors, but their partners, the people that they actually do business with. But they do it also for their friends. They help us all to enjoy doing what it is that we do. And the cohesion together is ultimately what has helped to brew this situation right now. We're just so thankful that we get the chance to talk with great people. But again, if you want some great solutions, you need to check out Elite FI Partners and the Think at Brew.
Simple as going to their name is their website, www.elitefipartners.com, and then Think Ad Group is thinkadgroup.com. Very easy, very simple. They make it that simple, and they'll make it that simple for you if you hire them, I promise. So
speaking of simple.
Simple.
Speaking of keeping it simple, okay? There's something that you said that was so big about the shops and the way that you would have the shops look inside of wherever it is that you work, right? And that reminds me that the issues that I saw in the military were definitely not the issues that I saw in the private sector on what a shop looked like. Mm. Consider a maintenance bay looking in the military the way that it does in the majority of dealership shops. It would be out of control. I mean, like, everybody would be in trouble in there until it's fixed, until it's perfect, until it's seamless. There can't be a drop of oil on the ground. Everything has to be perfectly dry swept. Everything has to be dressed right, dressed where it needs to be. I believe that most service shops should take a field trip to a military motor pool where there are some of the biggest vehicles that break constantly. Constantly break, okay? There's so many parts that are constantly being interchanged with an endless supply of money, it seems like, to keep changing them out. But those shops operate seamless. Salute to all of those that make that happen. You know, we appreciate you all, but there's something to be said about that. Some great ASC certified mechanics need to line up and go see what it is that they're doing in those shops. It was a great honor of mine, the time that I was in, to be inside of a motor pool, to be the person that's running the parts all over the place, to have fun doing that. But you bring up such a great point. What is it that made you actually do that? And this is kind of a bonus ancillary question to the first. But what was it that made you so focused on seeing that type of precision inside of the shop? Why is that even good? Why does that benefit anybody?
Well, for one, you never get a second chance to make a first impression. Everybody knows that saying, right? Do you know where that saying came from? Do you guys know where it came from? Because most people don't. All right. Back in the day, during colonial times, when the first printing presses came about, and they had these big typeset machines where they would put in the letters to put together the paragraphs and the content for the newspaper that they would manually print out, right?
Yep.
Before they stamped out a few hundred or a few thousand of them, they had to test one. And that one that they tested first was called a first impression, because you got to make the impression, print it, and then look to make sure there are no misspellings, the letter didn't fall off, any of that stuff. So that's what's called the first impression, to make sure that before you go any further with printing anything, that first impression has to be on point. So in life, we don't get a second chance to make a first impression. Within the first few minutes of speaking with somebody, the first few sentences, you know whether or not they know what they're talking about, if they're just BSing you, or if they're actually subject matter experts in their field. And if that impression goes well, that's when you want to further communicate with them. If it does not, that's when you check out. It's like, yeah, no, this guy's full of shit. So that's why. So I like everything lined up perfectly, right? Even like the dishwasher. Mm-hmm. Sounds crazy, but there's some stuff you don't do. You know, I figure, okay, so the rack for the utensils is on the right. I start stacking from the back to the front, right? That's just how I do it. And then the dishes, I rinse them first. I know it's going to do, it's, I know it's going to clean it, but I want to keep the filter clean as long as I can. So I rinse them off, arrange them by height from tall to short, the cups lined up a certain way, because I want to maximize the efficiency with how everything's lined up to get it as clean as possible and to get as much stuff in there as possible. So that's just, I very much believe in attention to detail. If everything is put back where it was taken from, you never struggle to have to find it.
Bing bong.
That's it.
Hello.
So I love that. I approach everything in life that way.
You know, and that's very, it's, that's something that, you know, being in, my dad was in the Army 20 years. I was in the military 4 years myself. I was in the Air Force. I worked on jets and, I fixed them. I was a mechanic basically. I'd worked on the electronics part. So I wasn't necessarily a mechanic. I was more electronic mechanic, but the cool thing about what you're talking about, it's very true. It's very good to do that. It's good to have your stuff organized. The way we were trained in the military, the way my father raised me was to be much like that. You had to be organized. You do things in a very smart pattern, right? You make sure you do it the right way, like loading a dishwasher even. I love how you talked about that. I'm very much, very similar to that. I'm probably not that attentive to it, but I'm very close to that. I do load from the back. I do make sure all my cups are a certain way. Even my forks,
like, and the handles yeah, gotta be straight.
Yeah. I'm very picky about that stuff. So it loads, you load more by doing it that way. You can, it's very easy to find things in there and it cleans better. And like you said, rinse off your stuff before you put it in there because it will keep things, it makes it a lot easier, just a couple extra seconds. So I agree with that. So let's take that to the military side. When I worked on aircraft, everything was dress right dress. Like Lou was talking about our bay, like if we brought an aircraft into a hangar, after we were done, that thing got, we had this little like concrete Zamboni. You'd have to do the whole floor, clean that, make sure there was not one spot of grease on it. When the aircraft went out, we had to make sure everything on there. We had books that were open. Every screw has to be double checked. We have, you do it, then somebody else double checks behind you. Because when it comes to aircraft, when it comes to life, folks, little things make a difference. So when on an airplane, people don't realize that one little itty-bitty piece of loose wire, if you cut a piece of wire and you leave it hanging inside the aircraft somewhere and where you open up a panel where all their, like the electronics are, that one piece of wire can take down a $1 billion aircraft, right? Because that can literally short something out, which causes a problem, which the aircraft can fall. So it was such a big deal in the Air Force to everything was accounted for. Our toolboxes, they had cutouts for all the tools. When you checked it out, you had to double check, make sure all tools were in there, even the little pieces, the sockets and all that. Then when you turned it back in, you had to double check it. And then somebody else who was a higher rank would go in there and they would double check every tool to make sure everything was good. Because if there was one piece of tool missing, every aircraft that you touched that day could not fly until they found that piece. Everything had to be open until they found that one itty bitty piece.
Like Zach Joseph says, it takes no less time to do it right.
Yeah, man, Scott's so right on that.
You find out that whether it's the dishwasher or it's operating a maintenance bay or it's operating a showroom and your process, the redundancies create the actual efficiency. What may look like you're doing the same thing over and over is actually maximizing the efficiency that you're actually getting out of the business. It is so key that you do that. And that's one thing that you get inside of the military is that repetitive redundancy until it's absolutely programmed in you. And some of us need the redundancies of our wife correcting us.
Yeah. Right? Scott says, my wife randomly just puts dishes everywhere. I call her out on social media, which proves I'm an expert at loading a dishwasher, but not in marriage and relationships.
I'm the one getting fixed on that part.
Yeah. I think in most relationships, the wives are the smart ones anyway. They're the ones who understand the relationship better than we do. They just coach us through them, right? And we just kind of get coached really well. I think the ones who are the most coachable last in a relationship.
I got a question for Scott, though. I got a question for Scott. Scott, you ever open up that the door at the end of the wash cycle and see that cup or that measuring cup facing up, still got water in it?
You're like,
that's the worst. Yes. No. Why did that happen?
Watch this.
No. Yeah, absolutely. Scott Joseph, you are correct, sir. Yes. So, you know, I love that. And being organized is huge. And having your shop is show of pride. Like what you're talking about, that makes a difference. When you have a client walk into a dealership and your showroom is a mess, that shows that your whole dealership's a mess. And earlier, who was it? Brian had mentioned it, or somebody mentioned that, you know, it's a direct reflection of the leadership at the dealership, the way it looks, the way a service department looks. All that stuff is a direct reflect of the leadership there. 100%.
Fish stinks from the head. Remember that.
Right. And I agree, because when you walk into somewhere, it looks like that. You're like, man, this place is not ran well. When people take pride in what they do, they take pride in their workplace. When they take pride in the way they look, when they go to work, their hair, that they shave, they do all these things. That lets you know a lot about it. You're clean, boy. You got Mr. Clean. But, you know, it does. There's a lot something to do with that. Something about taking pride in your appearance, your dealership appearance, everything. I mean, to the point, like, even my vehicles that I drive, I can't help. I want my tires shined. I want all the stuff polished off. You know, I even trying to teach my son that. My son has a nicer vehicle. And when he drives around, like, he takes it get clean. and he gets that wheel shine on it, well, it'll kick up on the cars if you don't let it dry. Well, it'll kick up. So when he gets home, sometimes I look at his car. I'm like, dude, you need to clean up all that wheel shine that's all down the side of your car. I don't like it. Wipe that down, you know. But so it's very good to have those types of habits because that lets you know what type of person they are. That you when you give them your product, like your vehicle, you know they're going to take care of it because they take care of the shop. They take care of themselves. They do all those things. So they're going to take pride in their work too. They didn't just take pride in their workplace, but their work, because all that stuff
here needs and it's in here.
That's what makes you different than everybody else. Be that person that stands out. You know, not everyone thinks that way, which is crazy. They should all think that way. It just takes, like they said, a few extra minutes to do it right. And when you do it right, it saves you tons, but it'll make you tons too. So I'm going to get to question. That was just question number two. So let's get to question number three. So question number three for you, since you've been in this business, and I know you've been doing it for a long time, you've been in different types of realms of the business. You've been a vendor. You've been on the dealer side. You've been all this stuff. You've ventured out to food. You've done a bunch of things that are growing and you're in a constant growth mode. But who's been your biggest influence? Who's been that person? I know it's hard to name one person sometimes. You can name as many as you want, but you've got that person. Who's been your biggest influence?
My dad.
Yeah.
My dad was my number one influence.
Awesome.
You know, he always taught me that you don't have to know everything, but you need to know a little bit about a lot of things so that you can speak intelligently with anybody about anything at any time. And he always had time. You know, he struggled, but he always had time for us. Always, no matter what. No matter what. We lived on the island of Curacao, and, you know, the opportunities on an island are limited. So he came to the U.S. You know, he got visa to come to the U.S. He was here for 2 years to get, you know, visas for the rest of his family to come over. So for 2 years he was here, barely knew the language. He looked at a map. He took his finger, closed his eyes, and he pushed down. And he came to this country not knowing anybody, barely knowing the language, to make a better life for his family. And he, 2 years later, we got visas to everybody to come. I don't know that I would have the guts to do what he did at the age that he did it. But he did it for us. That was an ultimate sacrifice. And that taught me a lot about what you need to be in here and what you need to be in here to do and love what you do. Yes. So he was the main influence in everything that guides me today.
Man, let's honor your father, man. That's awesome. That's a blessing that you had a father like that. You know, not everybody's fortunate to have a father who has insight like that, who did amazing things. You know, the thing about coming here to this country and not having any language, and it's hard because most people treat you like you're ignorant. Even though it's like people don't realize that just because you can't speak English doesn't mean you're not smart. Like they literally will talk down to them a little bit. That's the one thing about the American culture I don't really like.
And why so loud?
A lot of Americans do.
Why are you saying it's so
loud? Yeah, they say it slow.
Why?
Hello.
I can hear you.
Right. So my mother, she's from, you know, obviously she's Korean. She came here to this country. You know, my mother's one of my, I mean, if I was to put her up there on my list too. And it's very similar reasons. You know, she left the country, all her family. She didn't speak the language really well. She came here because she knew that it was a better opportunity, but she also had children and she wanted to be with her children. Her husband was an American citizen that was, you know, in the U.S. Army. So she had to travel the world because of it, you know, and go all kinds of places that she probably as a young person never would have imagined, you know. And but she did it with such class. She raised three beautiful kids, you know, me, my sister and my brother. And she did it with so much dignity and always with that Korean culture, with family and raising your kids. And you know, she was always that don't act like a fool, you know, always look good. You know, she's part of the reason why I always look. I mean, she used to wear me in kindergarten, first grade. I was wearing shirt and tie to school every day. You know, she was so big about that because she was just, you know, like you talked about, first impressions to her still to this day are huge because she understands that, you know, when you're dealing with people that people, you know, the first impression is such a big deal. So my mother was always like, you got to look good. You got to speak good. She doesn't, even the way I would stand, like, don't have slouch. Don't slouch. Don't sit. She was like, you know, there's so many little things that she didn't want us to appear to be like because she wanted us to have that extra step. But my mother also believed because we were mixed culture that it was tougher for us. Which I don't agree with that at all. It was different. Don't get me wrong. I dealt with my prejudice one way or the other. But at the same time, it was, to me, it's still a benefit because I've learned so much and I have so much culture in me, which made me open to other cultures, which made me open to listening to other people and not prejudging them. It's actually wanting to learn about it. Like, I want to know about your culture. Right. Teach me about it. You know, like my wife, she's part Filipino. So I got to learn a lot about Filipino culture, which Korean and Filipino, though, to most people seem similar, are way different, right?
You have Filipino. Only untrained eye.
Yeah, Filipino people, they're islanders. They come from a different world. The way their food is different. Everything's different.
So lumpia.
Oh, my goodness. My wife's lumpia is amazing. She makes some of the best, and she also makes really good adobo chicken. Just blow your mind. Oh, I just had some 2 nights ago. So fire. And she always has lumpia ready to go.
When I came here, I did not know one word of English. My native language is Dutch. I still speak Dutch.
Yeah,
but yeah, I didn't know one word of English. So I remember my oldest friend today, I'm still friends with. We were neighbors. I remember he was teaching me English. So I was all proud. I'm standing in front of the house. I'm yelling my newly acquired English language. Well, what I didn't know was maybe he wasn't teaching me what I was supposed to learn. It wasn't the hello, how are you type of stuff. Because my father came running outside screaming like, what are you? Why are you yelling at profanity? In the meantime, I look, well, that's Billy taught me. Where'd Billy go?
That's good stuff, though. You know, and that's solely true. I could tell you as a kid living all over the world as a child, being a military brat, I always wanted to learn the profanity of every country, you know. I was a kid, though. I wouldn't say it in front of my parents, but, of course, I learned a lot of the cuss words in whatever country I was in. But it was funny. I think, you know, it was just more of a hilarious thing. But no, it's a beautiful thing. I love that you honored your father like that. You know, he's a great man, and I appreciate that. I know that, you know, he appreciates it too. So
heck yeah, that's again, folks, there are fathers in our lives.
Yes.
Sometimes they're the physical ones. Sometimes they're spiritual.
Yep.
Sometimes they're great mentors inside of the business. We have few fathers in our life. We have many brothers and sisters, but it's key that you allow yourself to trust somebody enough to be able to give you the advice, to be able to say things to you that may make you have to stop limiting your thinking, may make you have to believe in yourself when you don't believe in yourself, may make you have to choose the higher road when it's definitely not the easier one. It's key that you have those people that can speak in your life. It's a great honor that you get to do that for your father and for those that are out there.
Yes.
Make sure that you, if you're in the mode where you can be a father to somebody, I encourage you all, mentor somebody.
Do it.
Build somebody
up. 28 years ago that I lost my dad. Mm-hmm. And 28 years later, it still brings a tear to my eye like it was yesterday. Whenever I meet somebody that knew him back then, mm-hmm. that's, oh, you're Matthew's son? And they start talking about a story about how he impacted their life. You know, yeah, that's why. With my kids, I was always there. You don't get a second chance to make a first impression, right? There's no do-overs in life like that Kodak commercial. So if you're a dad out there today and you can do that for your kids, do it.
And you can start today.
You can start now, folks. It's never too late. Just do it.
Never.
But every moment you waste goes by. It goes by fast. Next thing you know, the moments are gone. So just do it now, folks. If you love and you have children, if you have people that you're mentoring, do it with all your passion and heart. Make sure that they understand. Give them every knowledge that you have. You want them to be better than you. Don't worry about people being better than you. Let people be better than you. Help them grow there. It's a beautiful thing. That is your legacy, folks. Leave your legacy on this planet. Leave your legacy with your family, your friends, your mentor, your people you're mentoring. That's how you do it. And do it with grace and do it with power.
How will you be remembered when you're gone?
Bam. Come on. No doubt.
Come on,
that's everything to, you know, and I honestly, the older I get, the more that's how important that is to me. And it's not because I want to be like, you know, left on a level of like, you know, I'm one of the greatest people ever to live on this planet. No, it's just, I want my future family to talk about grandpa or whatever. I want them to say how grandpa was this and he did that, because that's what I want. And I love it. I love growing every day. You know, my whole mantra is keep growing. Mm-hmm. And I love to do that. And I'm doing that not in a good way. I'm trying to do that to encourage other people. I'm trying to encourage myself, my family, my even my own wife. I try to encourage her with this type of stuff. You know, my wife's an amazing person. I know that if she used social media the way she could do some amazing stuff too. She has a great heart. She's very smart. One of the smartest people I know. And, you know, so I definitely would encourage her, but she's also smart enough to be like, you know, I'm good. I'm happy. I love you for everything. Right. So yeah, but she's a great person. I'm very lucky. And, so yeah, man, great.
It's something that we all value, right? Is these relationships mm-hmm. that we get to have with our family, with sure. each other. And again, the mentorship key is a big component that we want to make sure this culture is continuously breeding. People that are seeking out somebody to mentor them and people that are seeking the opportunity to mentor others. Something like an adoption, right? When you're claimed by somebody, that's it. They've claimed you. They're taking you and they're going to commit to making sure that they raise you up in the way that you should go. And sometimes we get the chance to actually reach out to people to get that type of coaching. And the culture right now is shifting so much to where everybody's able to find a coach for whatever they want, even if it's cooking whatever you cooked last night or the day before, or you're going to cook tomorrow. You can get somebody to help coach you inside of that. You can help get somebody to help coach you through what it is that you're going to do on your physical fitness plan, on your business plan, right?
Anything.
From salespeople to being car buying coaches.
Yep.
Right. All of those things have happened, and it's incredible that we're inside of an age where you can get some real in-depth hands-on education without going to a university, without going to a college, right? You can go, just like you said, bloop, 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 on the phone, bloop, bloop, bloop. Yep, I'll take that, right? And that's what you're doing when on the side of finding a dealer-vendor match connection point. But there's also these things that have to happen where it's you're getting those people together that are able to say, look, I am weak in this area. I need you to make me better, right? I need you to cut on me in a way that sharpens me, right? So the reason why I'm asking that is what tools did you focus on to make sure that you found a way to grow on everything that you had to go forward in? What systems or what things did you primarily focus on getting when you would actually step out on a new venture, on a new business plan or business idea? What were the things that you key focused on when trying to find coaching, when trying to find somebody to trust? What were the key elements that you were looking for inside of somebody to help mentor you? The short version of that, I said it. I didn't ask it in a short way at all.
You know, there's nothing you can't figure out today. Between YouTube and Google, there's nothing you can't figure out. So
it's true.
Maybe I was a little late coming to the party on the computers, but I vividly remember one Sunday afternoon, I spent hours and hours on the helpline, hours, until finally this tech support guy, he just says, you know, I've got to go. So, you got to go. What do you mean you got to go? We're here. We're not done yet. Oh, don't worry about it, because when the download finishes, just reboot your computer and you'll be all set. No, don't go. Don't go. Please stay with me. I need your help. And the guy says, no, I'll call you back. You're not going to call me back. You're not. So that day I said, you know, I'm not going to be in that position ever again. So I went out. I learned how computers work.
Yep.
And I taught myself not only how to fix computers, but how to build them. So now I built my own PCs. It's really easy. It's a handful of components and some software that you mate together. It's simple.
Yep.
The only problem is when you build your own computers, you don't have any tech support to call. You're the tech support. But any error message you get, you just put it into Google like a question, and it'll give you all of the relevant answers. I had one guy's computer I was fixing. He thought his house was possessed because words would just appear on his screen randomly. So I typed that in this Google search. Come to find out that there was a software glitch in his particular make and model of computer where the microphone would pick up outside noises, the television and whatnot, and then transcribe that onto the screen. So he thought his house was possessed. I was able to fix the problem. So yep. that's early on. Now In anything you do, you have to have a vision, right? You have to have a plan. You have to think of a product that everybody needs. And then you have to figure out the roadmap to get there. Okay, you have to look at the problem. You have to look at what are the answers to that problem? What are the steps? What are all the roadblocks that you need to eliminate? And you need to know that front, side, back, every possible way, and you engineer to get to the end result. Damn. Any job will seem insurmountable until you actually map it out. You know, for a while I did a bunch of home improvements, and I'll never forget, there was a house I was doing a floor in, and I'm looking at that house. It was old. The linoleum was glued to the floor. They must have used crazy glue on every square inch of that. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm going to be here all summer. I underbid on this job. It's going to be the death of me. But I took it one piece at a time, and next thing you know, I'm 20% in. Next thing you know, I'm halfway done. And then I was done. It came out beautiful. So it took me less time than I thought, because I didn't let myself psych myself out. Mm-hmm. So the key is, do the research of anything that you're going to do and have a roadmap on how you're going to get there, because all of the tools that you need are on Google and YouTube.
Fact. That's
right.
It's so fact. Ooh. I mean, and you're so right. And I love that you talk about that, because it is true. You know, everything that you do in projects that seem giant may seem overwhelming. Once you start, next thing you know, you get a percentage gets done. I love how you break that down. I break down things in percentages like that too. I like to, like when I start something, like, okay, I'm going to just do this because I don't knock out this much of it. Right. And then, but once I do that, then I'm going to do a little bit more. Next thing you know, you're 50%, like you said, 50% done, 75%. Then you're completely done and you did it faster than you ever thought. But it's hard to focus on a big thing. You just got to focus on the little thing. Focus what's in front of you. When you have the thing you have control over, right? So once you have that control, you just do it. You know what the big picture is going to be, but you got to start here. Even if it seems overwhelming, start here. Just start. Everything is overwhelming, folks, when you think about it too deeply. It can really be that way. Sometimes you have to just do. And he's right. You got to be prepared. You got to be ready. You got to have the tools. But once you have all those things, do. Just do it. And when you do it, things will happen.
I'll give you an example. Okay. So the nav system on my Lexus went. I had a communication error message on the nav screen. So because I taught myself how to fix computers, I'm thinking, okay, so what's really in a nav system? There's a screen. Mm-hmm. There's a DVD drive that reads the data off a disk, and there's a processor. And those three things are married together. So if any one piece of it's broken, if the display's malfunctioning, you're not going to see anything. So the display was showing me an error code. So I knew the display was good. I figured the processor's telling me there's an error code, read disk error. So I'm thinking, okay, so there's got to be a DVD drive in that system, that maybe the DVD drive is no good. So I start at the top. The dealer wanted $3,000 for the nav system. I'm like, I'm not spending that. No way. Not happening. No. So then I go online. I find rebuilt ones and used ones, and now I'm at $2,000. Okay, so $3,000 to $2,000, that's not so bad. But yeah, I'm not spending that either. So now I figure, okay, so if the DVD drive is bad, maybe I could just replace the DVD drive myself. Mm-hmm. So I find this place in Cincinnati, Ohio, that rebuilds DVD drives. So I'm thinking, oh, great. All right. Well, only problem is I don't know how to take that stuff apart. So now I look at a YouTube video, and I watch some guy take the dashboard apart and take the DVD drive out. Yeah, I could do that. I have to buy some plastic pry tools. I take the dash apart. I take the DVD drive out. I send it to the guy. $279 plus shipping. That's what it costs, right? Mm-hmm. I send it to the guy. He gets it. He calls me back. He says, yeah, you know, the disc has some scratches on it. You know, for another $50, we can clean up the disc. The upsell, right?
Yeah.
Oh, upsell. So it's like, nah, you know what? I'm going to get a new disc anyway. So just leave the old one in there. Because I'm a nut for getting the latest update. So I'll just get the new disc and I'll be good to go. And I wasn't sure if the DVD drive was the problem, but I figured, you know what, I'll take a $300 shot all day long as opposed to spending $2,000 or $3,000. I get the DVD drive back. I take the dash apart again, plug everything in, turn the car on, you know, push the button. Loading, problem solved. $300, but it cost me. YouTube, that's awesome. And Google.
That's it. And that's the thing. Like, a lot of times it is something easy like that. Sometimes it just takes a little bit of elbow grease for you to get what you want. But you know what?
That felt good, didn't it? Yeah. It felt good to know that you did it yourself, that you saved. Basically, you spent one-tenth of what the original price was supposed to be.
And I saved thousands of dollars. I fixed washing machines that I had no idea. I Googled a noise. A noise brought me to a YouTube video. Says, hey, take this thing apart. I never took apart a washing machine. And you'll probably find this broken plastic gear right here. Really? I figure, well, it's not working now. I can't screw it up any worse. I take it apart. And sure enough, that little plastic gear in the video, yeah, that's what was broken.
Crazy. Wow.
And it had a link to buy the part. So it cost me like $19 for the part. I popped that sucker in there.
Boom.
Fired it. Working.
Yeah. Yes.
Kind of wonder how he described the noise. How'd you describe the noise?
Banging noise from washing machine.
There you go.
I love it, man. And I love that.
I would have been just making sounds.
Looked it up, and there it was, right? So it is a lot of the problems, and that's what I love about this. This kind of correlates just to life problems.
Everything.
It's usually something easy that fixes everything. And when you just – all you got to do is open your eyes to it and be open to bringing in new ideas. Because a lot of times we're stubborn in our own ways. Well, it's just – I just can't do that, or this isn't going to happen. Stop being stubborn. Be open, folks. We are human beings. We are the most adaptive things on this planet. We can do anything we possibly want to do if you just let yourself do it. And I agree with that 100%. So
I mean, let's – just to quote a smart guy, Albert Einstein, he said, if the answer is simple, it's God speaking. Right.
That's it.
And so you can find the answer, and it's usually
right there it's usually right in your hand, or you might even be able to just ask the guy next to you. They probably even know the answer. You know, that's what's amazing. So my fifth question for you, Paul, it's going to be what your greatest reward was, man. Out of all this stuff, all these years, everything that you've done, all these different businesses that you've been in and out, and you've helped grow, and you've organized, and you've done everything that you can. You've started your own businesses. What's been the greatest reward from all this that you've done?
Well, that's a tough one because there have been a lot of great rewards along the way.
Absolutely.
A lot of them. All right. And I'll try to summarize them.
Okay.
The first great reward are my kids. My kids are my first great reward. They are incredible human beings. I mean, my kids are work ethic like nobody's business. You know, after I got divorced, I would see my oldest daughter online at 1 a.m. She was at school, and we'd message back and forth. Hey, what are you doing up so late? Well, I'm doing my homework. Huh. And I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, and she had a part-time job. My kids, since they could work, they worked. I've been paying my own way since I was 14 between all different things. Mm-hmm. So I said, you know what, if the work is too much, maybe don't do the work and focus on the school. Mm-hmm. Said, Dad, you taught me that I could do whatever it is that I want to do. And I'm doing it. She says, I'm getting good grades in school. I'm earning money. I've got a great circle of friends. Mm-hmm. I got this.
Yeah.
That was my oldest kid.
I love it.
The youngest one. We'd spend half the week together, right? Half with mom, half with dad. One night, on a Friday night, I go to pick her up. And she says, can we stop at Dana's church on the first? I said, sure, why not? So we stop at Dana's church. She says, I'll be right back. She went in. Now, she was working at Five Guys, right? In high school, she was working at Five Guys. Mm-hmm. I said, what's up with Dana? Well, Dana's church is building latrines in Haiti. Mm. And a latrine costs $300. My youngest daughter earned her own money and in her teenage years spent $300 of her own money, donated it to Dana's church so that she could build a latrine in Haiti for people that, you know, we take for granted when the toilet backs up, right?
Yeah.
I got to go plunge it. A lot of people don't even have that.
No.
And as a teenager, all right, teenagers, what do they spend their money on?
Everything that they shouldn't.
So $300 is a lot of money for a teenager. I mean,
$300 is a boatload of money for a teenager.
Oh, yeah.
She took her hard-earned $300 and she donated it to build a latrine. So my kids, that's my first really proud moment.
Beautiful. Right? Yes.
The other part, the next proud moment or milestone in my life was I was running, I ran several MITRE shops, and we were within the top 15% in the country. And in the early 90s, the company, the parent company, was going to reward 6 managers out of their 1,800 stores and recognize them for customer service excellence. Okay, think about that. Mm-hmm. 6 managers out of 1,800. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty small percentage.
Yeah.
I was selected as one of the 6 managers to be recognized and nationally recognized and rewarded for customer service excellence. And that prize was a national television commercial that aired for 2 years in every market in the country. And that they took that one commercial, that 30-second spot, and they cut pieces out of it and put it into 2 other 15-second spots. So I was in 3 television commercials in every market in the country for 2 years, and I actually got residuals, man. It was so cool.
That is
I got the first check, and then I even got health insurance from the Screen Actors Guild, because if you're recognizable in 3 television things where you have a speaking part, the lead role, now you can get a SAG card. So if I ever wanted to, and I don't, but if I did, all I'd have to do is pay the back dues, and I'm back in. I get a union job. So that was the second part.
Cool.
The third part was meeting my wife.
Oh.
Right? Yeah. Amazing, amazing woman. She puts up with some crazy shit because I'm probably not the easiest one to get along with. Everything's got to be so. I'm a security nut. The doors have to be locked. The windows have to be locked. The dishes have to be lined up just so. Okay. If I'm going to eat my dinner, I have to have the salad first. If we're going to have corn on the cob, I need to have the corn on the cob second. The butter goes on a certain way. The salt goes on a certain way. And when I eat, I go from one side to the next. One side to the next. All right. So I'm probably not the easiest one. And that woman supports me in everything I do. She puts up with all my craziness. And she's there. She's my best friend.
So that's man.
That is another milestone in my life that I'm just so thankful for. And the final one is giving birth to this latest, greatest venture, dealervendormatch.com. It is such an incredible thing because here's the beauty of it, right? We know the dealer struggle. We know the vendor struggle. But here's what I'm realizing after seeing a lot of these pitch videos. We're great at what we do. We're just not great at communicating that to our customers. So we may have the best product in the world, but we don't know how to present that. What we think is good isn't necessarily what the dealer thinks is good. So when I get a lot of pitch videos, I can now help them craft a better elevator pitch. Because the dealers care about 2 things only when it comes to looking at vendors. You know, what's in it for me and who's using your product? That's it. If you can't answer those 2 questions quickly, 30 to 60 seconds, you're not going any further. So I'm able to help them craft their value proposition in such a way that resonates with the person hearing it. So we know they're good at what they do. They just have trouble communicating that. And for me, it's such an honor and a pleasure to be able to help somebody guide them through. No, no, no. It's not 50,000 words. No, no. It's 3 bullet points. You need to communicate that quickly. So they understand it. And if they understand it, that's when they say to you, you know what? I got 10 minutes. Come on into my office. If you don't, that's when they say, oh, you know what? I got somebody coming in, but why don't you leave what you have behind and I'll call you. And you guys know when that call comes?
Never.
Never. Never. Everybody answers it the same way. Isn't it amazing how that works? So, yeah. So those are my proudest moments in life thus far. I know there will be more. There will be.
Yes.
But those are some great points. Those are great points. Bringing up your children first, and I honor that. That's amazing. You know, and to have the honor of being
in that percentage, you're talking less than 1% of all the managers in the country. You got to be picked.
Fraction of 1%.
Yeah. So you did that. You did it with grace. You got to be on a commercial. You got to, what a feeling that must have been, you know, being able to be on a national commercial for your product, for your store. People recognize you even more now. And you're like, man, my store, I'm so proud of what I've done. You earned every bit of that. You put that work in. You made sure that shop was nicer than any other shop that you could imagine. Then you talked about your wife. I love that too. I'm absolutely enamored by my own wife. I know Lou is also. We're both very lucky. We're all three of us are very lucky people to have the partners, the spousal units that we have, right? They're amazing people. They take care of us. And even with the craziness that we all have, because we are. Lou, if you guys see, we're crazy. Our lives put up with what we put up, what we do. And then when you talk about your new baby right now, this is your baby. This is your new child. The dealer-vendor match, folks. Make sure you guys check that out. Dealer-vendor match. We're going to talk about that more here in a second. But definitely dealer-vendor match is awesome. I'm excited about it. The moment he even told me the name when I was on his show, he said, this is what this is. This is before his show started on Sunday Night Live. He was explaining it to me. And I was like, whoa, I just love the name. The name alone, it's simple. It's easy. It's exactly what people – when you type that in, you know what you're doing. It's not like a, what is this business? It's right. Exactly what it is, right? And what's neat about this is I could see it evolved to more than just car dealers. It evolves to a lot of things. So it's awesome. It was an honor to have you here for this five-liner, man. I think that you definitely – I love where your heart comes from. I love where you're trying to bring everything, how it all starts with family, and it talks about constant growth, and it talks about looking for those things. And you know this isn't just the end of it. You have so much more to give and so many more rewards you're going to get from life. And you are, Paul. You very much
are. One other thing. I almost forgot. When I went off the road, I wanted to get involved with something that gave back to the community. I almost forgot it.
Okay.
I got invited to be on the board of directors of the New London Community Meal Center. Last year, the meal center fed 72,000 meals to people in need. Two things that are near and dear to my heart are food and helping people.
Yes.
Not always in that order, right? Not always in that order. So I got invited I got asked, would you like to be on our board? I said, well, let me check the place out. So I got invited to the meal center. Linda Berard, she's the board president. She gave me a tour of the place. And I said, all right, let me think about this and I'll let you know. I'm not 100% sure. And as we were leaving, we're walking. There's all these people outside waiting to go in. And this one guy comes up to him. I'm wearing a suit and tie from work. And he's tugging at me here. And he says, excuse me. I said, yes. He says, you're not here to shut this place down, are you? Shut it down? What are you talking about? You know, I'm wearing a suit and tie. So he's thinking I'm from the bank. You know, maybe I'm about to shut him down. People always think, I walk in, they always think, are you at the bank? No, no. I had one person thought I was a preacher, but that's another story. So I said, no, I'm not here to shut it down. Why would you ask? And then he starts telling me how the meal center has helped him survive and navigate one of the toughest periods in his life and what it does for him and what it's done for his friends. Brought tears to my eyes. I looked at Linda, and if there was any doubt in my mind at that point, I said, you know what? I'm in. So I do their website. I do their social media. Please visit nlcommunitymealcenter.org. nlcommunitymealcenter.org. You'll see some of the stuff that we do. We also have a Facebook page, New London Community Meal Center, where you see some of the stuff that we do. And if there's a couple dollars extra, we wouldn't mind a donation. There's a PayPal link right on the website itself. You're helping people that you'll never meet. And to me, there is no greater joy in life than being able to help somebody that can never pay you back. There's no greater joy than that.
Yeah, you should never give with the expectation of getting back. And that's why I love it. That's the basis of it, you know, and I love that you're like that, Paul, and it's so true. You know, it's great. Don't get me wrong. You're going to get something back.
It's .org, not .com.
You know, and so you will get something back, folks. And it's not, maybe it's not a monetary thing. Maybe it's not something that you can believe, but something will come back to you. That's that, yeah. Yeah, that 100%. You get that.
Nothing like that.
It's instant.
Nothing like that.
But there it is, guys. NLCommunityMiddleCenter.org. Make sure you guys go to the website, check it out. You know, if you feel giving, give a little bit, folks. It's nothing wrong with that. People, it's important to give. The more you give, the more you get. And it's a fact that I preach that all the time, and I live that, and I know it. You know, my life has been super blessed. I give a lot. I do everything I can to share, to give out whatever I can, not just monetarily, but I give out knowledge. I give out, you know, if somebody needs a meal, I'm going to buy them a meal. You know, I do whatever I can as a human being to help other human beings, right? So and make sure you guys do that.
And the other thing is, you know, talk about adapting, right? So we have all these people that are used to coming inside the building, but once COVID hit, we had to pivot on a dime.
Yes.
And now we've gone to a takeout system. So people come and we hand out meal. Not we. I'm on the board. I'm not there in the trenches. So they deserve all the work. But they've gone to a takeout model. So flipped on a dime from indoors to takeout. We didn't miss one day, didn't miss one meal. People come to the door. They're handed a meal. Yep. They're handed a drink. No questions asked. None whatsoever. You need a meal, you have one. Whether you're from the New London area or not, if you're there and you need a meal, you have one. No questions asked. So that's the latest between that and the dealervendormatch.com. Those are my latest choice.
And amazing things. If you guys notice that each one of these things is to serve people, and that's the key, man. Make sure you find something that people need. It's to serve. One of those two is something that is 100% just giving. And I absolutely love that. I applaud you for that, Paul. Way to be part of your community. Because as we grow, folks, as you grow, you're going to find that you have arms that can reach out and do things that you couldn't do before. And when you have an opportunity to do that, make sure you use your arms and use your mind. You use whatever you can in your heart, especially to do what you need to do. Your community needs you, folks. Community, local community, helping your local community is huge. Help becoming part of your local community, helping it grow, helping it become better is another part of way of get your legacy out there. You know, it's not just about what we do in business or what we do with our family. It's about what you do with your community, because community is huge.
How will you be remembered when you are gone? That's the question you have to ask yourself every day, and let that be your guiding principle on how to live your life.
No doubt. A great solutionary that has found a way to connect from the first sip of this brew to the last sip. How to have an impact, to make sure that there is a legacy that's left, whether it's giving advice and inspiration for those that are building their business, all the way to working inside of a bay or making sure that your maintenance facility works, jumping to making sure your kitchen experience is proper, all the way to giving into the community. My friend, Paul Meyer, is 100%. Car guy,
coffee approved. That's right.
We are so thankful that we get the chance to brew solutions with such a solutionary that there's just so much more that this show has not encapsulated everything that is you. But you are a contagiously confident connoisseur of many different things. And it's awesome to see you grow and to be part of watching that growth happen, to have Fred on the show, to have you on our show, and to be constantly encouraging and poking people to say, go do something, man. There should be no excuses, man, for you not to have an impact on the world around you. And there's plenty of people that need help. So go find them. Be diligent about finding them. I assure you, if you look for the light, you're going to find it. If you look for the solution, you're going to find it. And just like before, when speaking out about the giant facing us, sometimes the challenges that our community faces get in front of us because we're supposed to take them down. And a lot of time it's for our fellow brother and sister.
No doubt.
Okay. So again, solutionaries, thank you so much for rising with us this morning, getting a cup of coffee and a conversation with a solutionary like Paul Meyer.
Yes.
We are honored to have you on the show, and we can't wait to get you back in here again. Man, I mean, this conversation took a long time, as it usually does.
Thank you.
We love it. We get going, and I just love to ask questions. I love hearing stories. And Paul, man, I appreciate you. You know, when we talk about community, folks, I want you guys to understand community is your local community, but there's also a social media community that we're all part of. Paul has been part of that for a while now. We've all been part of it. We're growing this network of people. Use social media the way you need to use it, folks. There's some people out there that want to help. Paul has been such a great
just great person. He reached out to us. He's had me on his show. He's ordered our coffee. He literally took a sip. I love that he's done all that stuff to support his online community too. Yes. So thank you so much for supporting us, the Car Guy Coffee Podcast. I'm always going to support you, my friend, Paul. You're a great person, man. And I, like I said, when we talked the first time, I really just love what you're doing, man. Your energy, you're that kind of guy that I know that I can go have a dinner with and just smile and have a great conversation about everything.
And learn something.
And learn. I'm learning. I learn every time. These questions, these things. I know more about your past. I know so much more about you that I'm excited that we're closer now. We're closer friends. And this network is a beautiful thing. Thank you so much for being here today. You have a wonderful day. You keep growing and keep doing your thing, Paul. Folks, www.dealervendormatch.com. Make sure you guys go check that out because that's going to be the hottest thing this year. 2021 is going to be all about dealer match, dealervendormatch.com, folks. And go get it. Don't miss it. It's going to be nice.
That's right.
And so, call me for a test to schedule your test drive, 203-257-4727. Thanks a lot for having me on the show. I appreciate you guys a lot. And let's make it happen.
Keep brewing solutions, sir. Brother.
Keep brewing solutions.
And we cheers to you, Paul Meyer. Thank you so much for being in the cafe today.
That's it.
Everybody, go make something big.
Go make it big.
It is that you are.
Go
I am Lou Ramirez, the car guy.
I'm Fred Lenars, the subprime hero.
And we have been joined by a solutionary, Paul Meyer, here on the Car Guy Coffee
Podcast.